23 minutes to 10. I'm Phil O'Neill sitting in for John Stanley. He's back next week. Dr. James Alexander joins us now, an obstetrician, gynecologist, and urogynecologist from the SAN. Thanks so much for joining us. I read the other day, James, that one in four adults in Australia deal with some kind of incontinence, which is more than 6 million people. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Do those numbers surprise you?
Well, it's formed the basis of my medical practice. So it's a problem that I have the opportunity to deal with every day. So it doesn't surprise me, but you might be interested to know that urinary incontinence costs the country $100 billion a year.
Really?
Which is obviously a huge amount, and $40 billion of that is in lost productivity. So a huge burden on the nation.
And a huge burden for anybody that suffers from it as well, because there are so many things that you have to take into account. And you know, to be honest, embarrassment is probably one of them, through no fault of this person that may be suffering.
That's so true. Urinary incontinence can affect people in so many different ways. It can be, it can make people scared to leave the home, can be socially debilitating. When people go out, they sometimes always need to know where a bathroom is so they can get to it at a moment's notice. And it affects, women who want to play with their children. Sometimes they're unable to do that. So it affects every level of life, and really at most of the age groups as well.
Mm. And as somebody who suffers from an autoimmune disease, I'm aware of, you know, the fact that this could happen to me as well. So it's not just young people, it's, you know, all old people. Anybody could really deal with this and have to suffer from this.
Yeah, well, certainly. So overactive bladder, which is that difficulty getting to the toilet in time when you feel that urgent need to go to the toilet. Overactive bladder actually affects about 50% of women over the age of 65. So that's a huge amount of the population. And so there are a lot of people out there suffering, and a lot of people don't know that a lot of other people are also suffering with this.
Is it primarily something that women suffer from more than men?
So women certainly suffer from it more than men, although this is one thing that men also do suffer from, but certainly, at least double the number of women would suffer from it than men.
And what causes urinary incontinence?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. There's several causes, but there's two main types of urinary incontinence. One is stress urinary incontinence, and this is a mechanical problem. It's a failure of the supports that hold the urethra in place, and often caused by childbirth and age. The other type of urinary incontinence, which I alluded to earlier, is that overactive bladder, that urgency, which is an urgent desire to avoid with that involuntary leakage, and that's where that bladder muscle contracts when it shouldn't.
So are there any muscle contraction exercises that you could do, floor exercises, something like that, that could help?
Yeah, certainly. So the first step with urinary incontinence is normally to look into conservative measures such as pelvic floor muscle exercises. Mm-hmm. And here a qualified pelvic floor physiotherapist is your best friend. And for women with stress urinary incontinence, so that's that leakage with exertion like cough or sneeze or jumping, exercises alone can improve the incontinence in up to 75% of women.
Fantastic.
So that's a huge benefit. Not so effective for urgency incontinence, but still a good first place to start.
Well, that's what I imagine you would probably recommend the exercise before you go down the path of surgical options.
Yeah, certainly. So I think for all types of incontinence, we want to look into conservative measures before we consider surgical options.
And what are the surgical options, though?
Yeah, so the surgical options certainly depend a little bit on which type of incontinence you have, whether it's that stress incontinence with leakage with cough, sneeze, any type of exertion. And those type of people, surgery can be something like a sling, which aims to support the urethra. So it can brace against extra support to prevent leakage. And those things can be mesh, but they can also be slings using tissue from your own body. And then there's a couple of other procedures that also help to support the urethra or the bladder neck, and that helps provide support for the urethra to prevent incontinence.
Of course, you're a doctor, so you would be familiar with the conversations, but a patient coming to you for the first time might not know how to present the problem or even ask for help. What would you recommend?
Look, I'd certainly recommend if you have urinary incontinence, have a chat with your GP. General practitioners often treat patients with urinary incontinence and can certainly set you on the right way. It is important in the first instance to see a physiotherapist that has pelvic floor training, and so the GP can set you on that path. They can also set you on the path to see a qualified urogynecologist or a gynecologist or urologist with an interest in these disorders.
Right. And what about medication?
Yeah, so medication is often used for overactive bladder. There are different types of medication. The most common one we start with is a bit of topical estrogen cream, which can be useful and has very few side effects. There are a couple other options, some of which have concerning side effects and some of which are a bit expensive, actually. And so we often start with that topical estrogen before considering the other medications. But there are other medications available that help relax the bladder and reduce the number of incontinence episodes.
Where can people go on the website to find out more details?
So the Continence Foundation of Australia has a whole lot of information about urinary incontinence. In addition, the Urogynecological Society of Australasia also has a whole lot of information there. They are good starting points. The Continence Foundation of Australia also has a nurse continence advisor hotline, which you can give a call to, and that can also be a place where you can get some advice, including getting advice about what sort of products to purchase to help contain incontinence, such as pads and that kind of thing.
All right, James, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
No, thank you very much. My pleasure.